You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and welcome to my show, The Law of Attraction, on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Welcome. I'm so glad you're back this week. It's been another week that we've been able to learn and to love and to literally be able to bring our lives to the next level. My guest today is, woohoo, literally one of my favorite people. Okay, I know you hear that all the time, but this is literally one of my very favorite. It's Mike Dooley, Notes from the Universe, national best-selling, New York Times best-selling author. And he's wonderful. I have known him personally for about 9 years. He has changed my life. He has changed many people's lives. He has a new book out, and it is The Complete Notes of the Universe. And I know so many of us get his notes every day, literally, that we're on an email list. But his new book, when you sit down, you can just open it. I mean, it's kind of like the Bible. You can open it. You can read a couple of passages, and it's going to make you feel so much better because there's something about divinity in those notes that touch us, or it wouldn't be as popular as it is, and it wouldn't touch us as it does. So I am so thrilled to have Mike Dooley on my program, and we will be right back with Mike Dooley. And we are back with one of my favorite people, and I'm serious when I say this time. I know I say it all the time, but Mike Dooley is one of my very favorite people, and I am so thankful that you're on today. Thanks so much, Mike, for being on.
Hey, Paula, it is great to hang out with you again.
Oh, well, thank you. I got out his very first book that I know of, Infinite Possibilities. I think he had some smaller little ones, The Jungles of Time and Space. You have such cute books, but they really touch your soul. But I wanted to read this part of it. It says, having been a fan of the big boys, Anthony Robbins, Wayne Dyer, Earl Nightingale, I came away with the realization that Dooley is the most literate and professional of them all. And this was the Los Angeles Entertainment Today. So, woohoo! I just saw that on the back of your very first book. So I'm so thrilled you're here. So I know you don't need a lot of introduction, but kind of give us a background of your backstory, because I love it and it's so inspirational.
Well, Paula, pretty conventional backstory. College degree with in accounting. And then 6 years with Price Waterhouse. You're kind of like you, the professional, old school approach to, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. And then I really wanted to be an entrepreneur of sorts. I was on the verge of turning 30. And so I just quit, no idea what I was going to do. And I ended up launching a t-shirt business with Andy, my brother, and my mother. And that ran for 10 years, did great guns, had our own chain of stores. We sold wholesale all over the world. And that's when this certified public accountant started doing some creative writing, which at first was just like, oh, what is this? You know, I'm birthing words and sentences and passages that will outlast me in time and space, that are giving people chills and making them cry. And so I wrote for all of our t-shirts, which was not in the game plan when we launched, and my brother did all the art. And then when we wound down that business, that part of the business, selling novelty items and gifts, it was like, now what? I'm 40. It was kind of startling. I thought my life was like a train wreck at the time because I had no career momentum. I would be starting over, didn't know what I was starting. And it was all bad. It was the dark night of my soul. But the things that I wrote about on the t-shirts were metaphysical truths and perspectives about us being here, born to discover our power, to see life's beauty, to seize the day and live our dreams. Thoughts become things. That was one of our most popular t-shirt designs.
Let me ask you this. How did a CPA with that left brain, logical, linear thinking get into this metaphysical and just your short little t-shirt sayings? Oh. Is there something that woke you up one night and said, you need to start talking this way? How did you?
I think the weirder thing is that I even got into public accounting. That was not the real me. I was doing it because it was the right thing to do.
I was doing it
because I was a good student through massive hours of self-discipline. And when I was in college, my mom would send me these metaphysical books that were really taboo back then. There used to be, maybe you remember, back in all of the mainstream conventional bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders, before the internet, there was an occult section. O-C-C-U-L-T.
Yeah, you had to put your sunglasses on and turn up your collar and go back to the back of the store in Barnes & Noble. Now I know where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my mom started finding those books, and she was pretty much a prim and proper British woman. She was not on the fringe by any stretch, but she found a couple of these books that were channeled and dictated by spirit entities. And I was like, you lost it. You need help. And she was like, forget the source. Just read the content. And I did. And it changed my life. I was probably 19 or 20 years old when I read my first metaphysical woo-woo book, probably a Seth book dictated by Jane Roberts. Mm-hmm. And nothing has ever been the same. And from that point forward, Paula, I was just so excited to have discovered what felt deeply like the truth, mm-hmm. that had no agenda. They weren't asking for money. Everyone goes to heaven. Everyone's powerful. Everyone's loved. All things are possible. It was like, this is what I always suspected deep down. And so I was lit up. And I was on a mission to live the most rocking life that I could dream of. Now, I was majoring in accounting, and that was kind of a bummer. And so you got to step out into the unknown, and it took a while before I did that. But I saved myself from being fired. My first metaphysical miracle at Price Waterhouse. I was a terrible auditor. I was a terrible auditor.
He's a very good author, but a terrible auditor.
I visualized, got transferred into the tax department. My career blasted off. I was traveling internationally. It was amazing. I got an assignment in Boston and New York City, Saudi Arabia, Cairo, Egypt, and made a huge hardship bonus. And finally, gathered up enough steam where I could go and become an entrepreneur following my bliss, doing what I wanted. And, you know, it's always like, well, what does that mean? Like, how am I going to do it? And so that's when I quit Price Waterhouse. And because nothing else came along, I started selling t-shirts with my brother, and mom came along and she said, you know, you can make it in anything. Andy's an artist. You're an accountant, you know, thoughts become things, kind of mentality, although we weren't using that adage at the time. And so, you know, the three of us, in 10 years from zero, sold $10 million worth of our own line of t-shirts. And then the trends changed and we're like, okay, let's stop doing this. We bought mom out. And so thinking my life was like a nightmare.
Hang on, I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Go back before Seth, before the Seth books, which are... they are amazing, but they are a difficult read because you got to pay attention. It's like every sentence is extremely
profound.
But prior to that, did you have any out of body experiences? Was there something prior to that that you, when you look back, you go, "Oh yeah, my higher self is talking to me"?
Nothing like you just described, where I had this, you know,
right,
unexplained
small,
phenomena.
But small whispers, right?
What I had from maybe age 12, 13 was just like a really deep seated desire to kind of like to want to know what this is all about. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute, everybody goes to heaven or hell and God's angry. And I would go to Sunday school. I was a Catholic. My mom was very strict. And it's like, this doesn't make sense. And I wanted answers. And parents didn't have answers. Church didn't have answers. They were kind of indignant by my questions. I continued to toe the line. What else do you do when you just are totally clueless? But I started formulating my own conclusions that, you know, God has to be everywhere, always at once. And God has to be inside of everyone. There can't be a devil or a hell. God would never do that. God would never be so petty and small-minded. God has forever. Everyone's redeemable. Might take a million years for some, but they're redeemable. Everyone's trying to do their best. There's love everywhere. Time has to be an illusion. And so these were, it was like my own little religion. I never thought of it. I don't need adherence. And, but I had my own little
philosophy,
this is how life
right?
must
philosophy.
Be.
Philosophy, yeah.
And it was not until Mom sent that first Seth book that I realized somebody else thought like this. And everything I had deduced was confirmed. And then Seth went, you know, 10 levels beyond. And I was like, oh my, and it's all so beautiful. And it's so loving. And it makes sense. And it was inside of me and it's inside of everyone. And so between my first questions and the Seth book, maybe for 7 years, I did hang around fringe concepts. Like I was never a reader, not even as a kid, but I did find a few hypnosis books. I found some UFO and ESP books and I'd be like, oh my God, there's something here. Ghost stories. It was like, I know there's more to reality than what my physical senses are showing me. And it's not this biblical story that we all have heard a million times over. There's a lot of beauty in that story and there's truths in that story. But it was never, in my opinion,
There was a bigger story.
Well put.
Okay. So then you went and you decided that you wanted to go after your bliss. And so was that selling t-shirts or was just that just doing something on your own as an entrepreneur?
It was just doing something on my own. I was kind of like, oh, t-shirts. Oh, well, it's either t-shirts or I have no idea what. So I was like, okay, let's do t-shirts or otherwise I'm going to be waiting forever for this great idea. And so, and then
that
Andy
was a great
was an
idea.
Artist.
Yeah, it ended up being a great idea.
The universe does that. You know, you can go down any road and it will self-correct, auto-correct for you. As long as you're moving, like in GPS, guidance is forthcoming. If you're not moving, the universe can't reach you.
Right. So those people out there that are thinking, I'm not sure what I want to do, pick something and move in that direction. And your t-shirt business caused you to write things on the t-shirts, right?
Yeah.
Which caused you to start sending those little emails out to people. So kind of tell us the next step, because they're just baby steps that you took and then they just blossom into you being such an inspiration.
Taking action breeds clarity.
Oh, I love that.
I teach clarity that you could not get any other way. And I tell people when you don't know what to do, as you just described, can often be the situation. And this was the situation for me. I was on the cusp of 40 years old after 10 years in a t-shirt business. We just liquidated our inventory. The business was still fine, but there was no going concern. Assess your sucky options. Because a lot of people are in that place.
That's a legal term, sucky options.
That is a legal, metaphysical, accounting-based answer. Just after you learn about debits and credits, it's the sucky option add-on. Assess your sucky options. Give yourself a deadline, you know, 48 hours, 2 weeks max, and then choose the least sucky. And, of course, I'm being facetious, but when people are in a place like that and they don't know the next step that means that they don't have like, I know what my thing is. I know what my dream is. Most people don't know what their dream is beyond happiness, but that's enough. Happiness, abundance, friends, laughter, love. That's enough to go on. The universe is like, I know how to get you there. I know you better than you know you.
And you know, so we don't know how to connect the dots going forward.
Yeah.
You know, we only look and see how the dots connect going back. So we got to trust those dots, right? That next dot is going to,
Totally. Yeah. I think Steve Jobs said that the best, you know, you can't see what's happening when it's happening, but because it's happening, which means because you're out there doing stuff, the universe is then able to connect dots exponentially. The more things you do, the more dots you create, the quicker transformation can come. Even though when you're doing these things, they may seem to be, you know, hither and yon and not all that logical, and it works and it doesn't work, and you're kind of embarrassed. It's like, oh, I know so well. But so I started sending out emails as Mike, and they were never that popular. But that led 10 months later to, you know, first it was weekly, then daily, and then 10 months later, notes from the universe began to emerge. And I never would have got to that point of writing the first note from the universe if I hadn't spent 10 months as writing as Mike. So it's like, it might not be the life of your dreams when you start out, but because you started, you will be led intuitively and logically for the actions you take to a better, higher path. And if I had waited for a good idea like Notes from the Universe, when that idea would have landed on me, you know, taking a nap on my couch in the middle of the day because I had nothing to do since I was waiting for perfection, I would have thought it was the stupidest idea in the world. What do you mean write notes from the universe? That's like stupid, Dooley. Have another beer and go back to sleep.
Yeah, a million emails later or a million followers later, it's not stupid. So what I think is amazing is you were taking those steps and we had no idea what's happening behind the scenes, that the universe is creating different opportunities for us down the road. And, you know, 5 years later, you go, oh my God, if that hadn't happened on this other parallel time, you know, we wouldn't be together. And I just love how the puzzle pieces all come together. So you wrote your notes in the universe, and then you had another kind of epiphany as far as being a speaker. And
yeah, well, right? The notes were not paying any bills, but I was onto something exciting, sending out these free notes. And by the time they turned into the notes, you know, there was an ever building subscriber base, an upward spiral. I was onto something, but nothing that was making any money. Mm-hmm. So I got a little logical. Sometimes getting a little bit logical is the most spiritual thing you can do. It stirs up the pot of possibilities. It gives you idea of baby steps to take, doors to knock on. And I thought, you know, it turns out you love writing about, thinking about, and sharing ideas on the nature of reality, which is all beautiful. It's all about love, and it's all about dreams come true. That's life on earth. And so, since you're making no money at it and you're scared of committing to a book, given how badly your earlier attempts, we didn't go there, had gone when I was writing t-shirts and doing debits and credits, why don't you consider speaking? Because speakers can get paid an awful lot of money mm-hmm. for a little keynote. Mm-hmm. And so I joined Toastmasters. I was terrified. It was humiliating. But
you did it, right? You took that step. You did it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and you know, we could never really understand the difference taking any kind of baby step makes. Mm-hmm. It emboldens beliefs. You come on board with an aroused expectation, like this is happening. I'm actually doing it. Even if you hate it, even if you're scared, it's better than doing nothing. So, you know, don't just do stuff you hate, but do the least sucky stuff. And then it gets better and better and better.
And follow your heart when you're doing it, because it's going to tell you which way to go. It may still scare you, but
yeah. And my heart was, Mike, you have something to say and it lights you up, and say it, speak it, write it, print it, any way you can get it out there. So Toastmasters taught me that I could put together a really good speech, that I was winning contests, even though I wanted to throw up on every single speech. It taught me that from Toastmasters, I went to Rotary clubs and gave free speeches to their local meetings. I hated that. They hated me. That was not my audience.
But it was
good
a step.
People, but
we're
not
still
my
moving.
Audience.
Yeah.
But then at maybe my 12th Rotary club, a member came up to me, and there's always magic. And she said, Mike, you were speaking to me today. I am so glad you said yes, and you're our guest speaker. Thank you for coming here. And Aww. She said, you know, Mike, this is not your group. I'm like, I know, like as if I would have a group talking about creative visualization. She's like, Mike, you should speak at Unity churches. I'm a director of content. And when our minister goes out of town once a year for a month, we need guest speakers. You'd be a great guest speaker. Our folks would love what your message is. My message was titled Thoughts Become Things.
Wow.
And I was like, I didn't know what Unity was. I was like, you know, churches, I don't like churches. And they like, she said, Unity just eats this up all day long. They're all about, you know, the power of our focus and intention and taking action and dreams coming true. I was like, really? So I said yes, to find out that there would be, I think, 300 people there. And I would have to extend my memorized thoughts become things speech from like 15 minutes to 25. And I was like, oh no, man, I'm just going to go down in flames. It was sickening, sickening.
But you did.
But I prepared. I wasn't going to say no. I'll never forget that day. They laughed at my every intended joke. They laughed at unintended jokes. They laughed at things I still don't know why they laughed at. They had a ball. I was so interrupted by laughter that day, which I had never experienced at a Rotary Club or a Toastmasters speech, that my 25-minute speech went like 36 minutes, 11 minutes of laughter where I had to stop and pause. And because of the laughter, I would have to stop my trained, memorized speech. And I showed myself that I was able to kind of pick up, that I was able to ad lib and not lose my pace. I discovered so many things through this torturous event that by the end of it, I was elated. And then, Paula, it was like 300 people on a hot Florida Sunday stood in line outside of the church waiting one at a time to thank me for coming by and being their guest minister that day. And I thought for the first time in like a year plus, like, I could do this. I could so do this. And then I learned the greatest secret of all professional speakers. You can give the same dang speech to every different group you go to. And it's like, that's easier than Toastmasters.
Yeah.
So I started speaking, and then the speaking led to workshops, and the workshops led to world tours. I have been around the world to like 130 cities, like 45 countries, every continent but Antarctica, most of those cities, 4 and 5 times. I mean, it's like, it's been the life of my wildest dreams. I met a woman, as you know,
In Mexico. This is a great story. Tell us the story of Marisol.
Well, it was shortly after The Secret came out, and I was invited to speak in Mexico by a group that had also invited Don Miguel Ruiz, author of The Four Agreements. He and I were the headliners for a 4-day event in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And the whole audience was almost totally Spanish-only speakers. So they all had headphones on when the gringos spoke because there was simultaneous translation. And then at the end of each talk and at the end of each day and session, there would be, you know, autographing and picture taking and selfies. And there was this one señorita that got me all flustered, and I would just start babbling English, and she was nodding so furiously, I realized she could not possibly know what I'm saying. and that was the case. She spoke no English, but we kept bumping into each other. We traded email addresses. When I got home to Florida, we discovered through Google Translate that we could communicate.
Wow.
We stayed in touch for a couple of months. I was back in Mexico for another speaking gig in Mexico City. She met me there. And that was the beginning of the best of my life.
Amazing that you would never have been able to plan that.
You can't plan the good stuff, Paula. Nobody can. When you think you can plan it, something's wrong. Wiser you are, the wiser you become, the less you try to micromanage love, success, money, health, and the more you turn it over to divine intelligence by knowing a few simple things. Know what your priorities are. Romance, done. Finance, done.
Check.
Let it be broad brush. And the universe is like, got it, on it, at your service. And then show up with baby steps. Do what you think makes sense, what feels right intuitively, and let the universe connect all those dots. And your mind will just be blown. So you have to know what you want, but surrender at the same time as taking action. And while that might sound a little bit complicated, it's not. But people won't be convinced of that. So, hey, I have courses and books, and so does Paula, and blah, 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 blah.
Well, and surrender, I used to hate that word because I was a divorce attorney. That meant I was losing, right? That I wasn't in there and I wasn't just beating the shit out of the other side. But you know, surrender just means having faith that there's a bigger picture, right? That you're surrendering to a bigger picture. You're not giving up, right? You're
exactly.
just saying, you universe knows the right way, knows the bigger picture, and I'm going to take one step. And, you know, when we try to use our reality and the facts that we have at our disposal, we're not getting anywhere, right? We just have to kind of let go. I love the word surrender. I love that you use the word surrender, you know, to find your wife and then your amazing daughter. So I want to go back a little bit. Let's talk about The Secret, because you've been doing your notes from the universe. You had some audios out, right? Because I have those somewhere.
I had an audio program, Infinite Possibilities, right. Like the book you have.
So tell us when you got contacted by Rhonda Byrne, because that's this huge explosion of this information. Information, but this whole genre that is now going to change the world.
So I probably was contacted by Rhonda and or her sister Glenda, I would guess 2005. So I was 5 years into being a teacher with Notes from the Universe. By then, I was already on my second world tour. So like things are really, really clicking. And unbeknownst to me, they had signed up sometime earlier, I don't know how or why to this day, for the Notes from the Universe. And they were big Mike Dooley fans. And they were very excited about the truth. You know that feeling when you come into truth for the first time? Like when I read the Seth book and they were following, I think, Abraham and other folks, you're just electrified. And because they were in the TV film business, especially Rhonda, she was like, this is obviously my next project. I'm going to make a documentary on the law of attraction and bring to the world this secret. Because people don't know the most obvious thing in the world, that their thoughts become things and that you bring about what you think about. And so unbeknownst to me, this was all whirling and twirling. But, you know, my end result was wealth, abundance, friends, laughter, international travel. And that aligned with Rhonda's and the other people who would be called into The Secret. Rhonda's message was bring joy to billions. Right. And she has literally done that from being a relatively unknown TV producer in Australia with some success, but nothing like what she ultimately found. But the universe starts connecting those dots. You know, you said it a minute ago, if we try to do stuff with the facts that are in our head, the facts in our head, we could fit on the top of a pin. The universe, divine intelligence, knows everything, everywhere, always, everyone's agenda, everyone's dreams, everyone's limiting beliefs, and can thread a tapestry that will blow our minds. That's why, you know, you can use your mind to formulate baby steps, but turn all the rest over to divine intelligence. And so I got an email out of the blue, we're coming to the U.S. to do a documentary on the law of attraction. Can we interview you? And I was, by that time, you know, my ship was sailing and I was doing great. And I was like, you know, what do you want? You know,
really?
Am I supposed to fund this? And they're like, no, we're going to fly you to Chicago first class. We don't need anything from you. Just sit in front of the camera. There'll be a makeup crew. And it's like, well, that was a first for me. So I was like, I'm there. I'll do that. And then I met with Rhonda and Glenda, and that was pretty exciting. I remember the breakfast in Chicago at the Oriental Hotel, very, very, you know, 5-star. And she wanted to bring joy to billions. And they had been getting the notes from the universe for a long time. They had downloaded Infinite Possibilities on their iPods and were listening to it. And that's
so did you have any idea it was going to be this big when you met with them the first time or when you started
No. Nobody could know. But I will say, to her credit, Rhonda, this is Rhonda saw it this big. And everybody was excited about that, you know. But, you know, Rhonda saw it that big. But did I know that it would really be that big? You know, we see a lot of things real big that don't go as big as we saw them. But no, so no. But there was a lot of excitement. And it built. And it built. And, you know, and then, there, you know, 6 months, a year went by, and they started sending out little reels, and they started sending out little things. And it was like, oh, this is so exciting. This is like, oh, my gosh. And then it just, oh, and people don't know that the dream Rhonda had was pretty singular and well-defined, which is never too good of an idea. Other than bring joy to billions, her dream was, and they went to the Cannes Film Festival, they went to every global festival in Shanghai and, you know, everywhere. And their vision was that on the same day, on the same night, the world over, every major network that dominated every major territory would debut The Secret. Never been done up until then, and it didn't happen then.
Basically, I don't remember that.
Basically, not one major mainstream network would show it on their TV to showing it on their TV on any given, you know, movie night. This is way before. Well, no, I mean, cable was around, but, you know,
but it wasn't like it is now, right?
Right. So not even, I think it's the three or the four, the major channel in Australia where she's from, who was an investor in the film. They saw it and they're like, we're not committing to that. They wouldn't even commit. So basically, Rhonda's dream was shot to smithereens before it even started.
Yeah, but let's say something here. Yes, yes. Give me a bet because it worked out much better.
Oh, it worked out much better.
Right.
So, and that's so key when you're moving towards a dream come true. You've got to be resilient. You don't take no for an answer. That doesn't mean you insist that you have it your way, but you consider other possibilities. So without realizing it, Rhonda did what is kind of like today's normal business model on the internet. She went to the 25 people, I believe it was, who were filmed in The Secret. And she said, each of you has an audience, don't you? Mm-hmm. And what I would like to suggest is that each of you are hereby entitled and invited to become distributors of the DVD. There wasn't even going to be a DVD. It was supposed to be a film market, like for major networks.
Right.
DVDs were like, you know, just not the thing. So we're going to go the DVD route, and we're going to ask all of you who are game for it to promote it, and you can resell it. And that's how you'll be paid based on, you know, your retail cut of the transaction. And oh my God, all of us were professional speakers. All of us wrote books. All of us had a following back before the word platform was even known for what we do now. And it took off and it blew up, and there was parties and viewing parties, and Unity churches got in on it. And they started
streaming it. Yeah. I watched it on the internet the first time I'd ever done it that. Really, I mean, she was thinking outside the box. That's how we have to move everything along, right? We have to know what's going to happen and think outside the box and trust that intuition, and trust that
there
old
universe.
There
was no plan, Paula, for a book. Zero. But then after it had blown up and done so well, Cynthia Black the wife of the husband-wife owner of Beyond Words in the publishing industry, approached Rhonda, and because she was such a small publisher, approached Atria, aka Simon & Schuster, and said, I think this runaway DVD might make a good book. And people were like, you know? But they didn't say no. It's like, you don't say no. Don't say no.
Right.
Don't close doors.
Right.
So they entertained the idea. There was a very nominal, small advance paid to Rhonda. I'm not sure of the exact amount, but I know the generality. I know what the initial book run was and stuff like that. We're like really, really, really low. And they said, you know, it's not enough words. So Rhonda, would you add some filler? So Rhonda, who's not an author, you know, I think there was 25,000 words in the film script. So Rhonda cobbled together 25,000 more words to bring it up to 50, which is still very short for a self-improvement nonfiction book. And they did the same kind of marketing through the people who were in it. And incidentally, none of us got paid anything unless we were a distributor and we got paid for our retail sales.
Well, you did get paid because look how everything just blew up for everybody. I mean,
yeah. It really raised our profiles a lot.
Right.
But she ended up selling more than the DVD by gargantuan amounts. It's one of the best-selling books in the history of humanity.
And it's almost like a little coffee table book because it's so easy to just pick up and it's so inspirational. And then she wrote The Power and the Magic. I think she's got like at least three books out that I've got.
And there's a kid's book, and they touch
your soul. They touch your heart. So, there's another story that you always tell that I would love for you to share. So It's after your book came out, and I don't know if you were speaking. I think you were speaking when you found the street person, the person sitting outside of a Quick Trip or somewhere. And that kind of got you into another area, not just speaking and not just writing a book, but that's how I met you when you started to train the trainers of your workshops. And that was, I met you in 2011. So I love that story on how that was an inspiration that came out of the blue that you didn't know you were going to think about it, but share that story with us.
Yeah, it was for the book signing tour. There was like 9 days on the road, different city every day, all across North America. It was for Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dreams, the book that you showed.
I'm showing that right now. Yeah,
that's the book. That was my first main book that wasn't a collection of notes or a book of poems or a kid's book. That was my first book, I would call it. And I was in Portland, Oregon, and I went out for a cigar smoke before my publisher was to pick me up. It was dusk in downtown Portland. And I came across what I thought was a very aged senior citizen, homeless woman, reading under a streetlight with her German Shepherd at her side. And her hair was all matted and greasy. And it just kind of like, what do? Do you give money? Do you walk away? Do you ignore? What's right? Are you enabling them by giving them money? She didn't ask for money. She didn't look up. Fine, I'm gone. I'm out of there. And I got about 2 blocks away and I couldn't get her out of my head. And it was like a voice. It was like, just go back and give her some money. Just go. It's better to give unasked. It's like, oh, stupid voice. Okay, I'll go back. So I went back. I went back and I looked at my, money clip. All I had was 20s. I probably rolled my eyes like, all right. So I stood beside her and I said, hey, excuse me. And I held out a $20 bill and she looked up. And a shudder of horror went through my being because she wasn't this aged senior citizen with matted, oily hair. She was like a teenager. And I was just like, oh, no. So overriding my feelings, I continued with my mission. Would this help you? And she brightened up and she said, oh, my God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I walked away horrified. And I remember thinking, she doesn't know she's powerful. She doesn't know she has choices.
She doesn't know
what I know. And this was after The Secret. She doesn't know The Secret. And I remember thinking, what can I do? I'll give her 20 bucks and who knows what she'll buy. And I'm going to walk away and fly away tonight. I mean, I can't go be her life coach. I don't want to change phone numbers. I don't know if she has a phone. And I remember thinking, oh, you know what? I'm here on a book signing tour. My publisher's about to pick me up 3 blocks away. When they pick me up, I'm going to see if they have an extra book in their car and we'll drive by and I will give her my book. I can give somebody a book. I was like, wow, I've never been able to give somebody a book that kind of said A to Z what I do and what I teach and what I believe. And it's not just me. There's many, as you know, who teach and believe and live by these truths that life is beautiful and we are powerful. And so I went back. She was still there. I said, hey, you remember me? And I thought she'd be like, are you going to try to sell Jesus to me? And I was like, I didn't know how she would take it. But I said, look, I'm an author in town. I'm doing a book signing tour. I've got an extra copy of my book. I'd love to give it to you if you'd like it. And she said, I love to read. Thank you so much. And I was like, and by the time I got home, thinking about that whole scenario endlessly on the rest of that tour, I had hatched a plan. There's got to be a lot more people who have not yet been reached, who don't know of their power and their freedom and their ability to transform their circumstances. And I'm going to go look for them. It's one thing to preach to the choir and the people who love the notes and they show up at my talks and but I'm not reaching people who have not yet been reached. I'm teaching people who have been reached. So I reached out, spoke in the Orange County, Orlando jail system for about 2 years, every Tuesday morning, spoke to prisoners who were my most captive audiences.
Literally, figuratively,
they were my most appreciative audiences. They would swarm around me, all the guys like, Mr. Dooley, I never heard anything like that. Mr. Dooley, where did you get that information? Oh my God, that's so incredible. And so I came up with a replicable program so that I could get other people to go out into the world and reach those who have not yet been reached. Paula Casey is one of them, I'm so proud to say. Started back then, and still to this day, have a certification program. You can get certified online with coronavirus, or when it passes, you know, we've always had real world physical trainings where hundreds of people show up over a 4-day period. It's a love fest. It's pure truth, and we all get jazzed up, and people take the certification into their own shelters, their own jails, or onto platform stages. They do it for free. They do it for a fee. They become professional speakers, as you know. You are one of them. Many have taken this information coupled with other learnings of theirs and other specialties and gifts and made careers out of it. So it's a gift that keeps on giving, and really proud of that program, the Infinite Possibility Train the Trainer program.
You know, you have no idea how many people's lives you've touched or how many people's lives that those people have touched. I met you in 2011. It was your first Train the Trainers. I don't remember how many people were there, but I remember meeting you at just one of the breaks, and literally I was your first trainer because I went home and I made six people go to my living room and I taught them those things. So, and that just kind of started my whole career. And there's so many other people that have started with you, Mike, and have started school programs and programs for kids. And, you know, like you said, I mean, this is the most important information, and we all need to be teaching it, and we all need to be sharing it, and we all need to be understanding it, you know, in our heart and stuff. And I just want to thank you so much for having done that portion. And that's something you hadn't thought about, right? That was a divine
inspiration. Right. No, I had not thought of that. You know, it was just like organic intuition. Yes. And, you know, it's within all of us. And I know you're the same way, to make a difference, to be of service, to just share the love. It's such a beautiful existence. And many people don't know that. And so their suffering is like, well, that can be fixed. So that's where it was born.
It's a concept that everybody, wherever they are, anywhere, if they understand the power that runs to and through them, it changes everything. And you have done so much, Mike, to step up and to share that with the world.
Well, thank you so much, Paula. You are doing it yourself. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the
great light. Okay, but I want to talk about your book before. Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to talk about your book real quick. You have a new book that just came out, I think, 10 days ago.
I do. Well, these notes are still very popular.
Yes.
And this just got released by Atria, Simon & Schuster, Beyond Words, The Complete Notes from the Universe.
And it's a really interesting one of your notes.
What?
Is it really every single one of your notes?
No, I had to wrangle with my publisher. I'm like, you know, that's a little misleading. It's not really the complete. There's like 3,000 notes from the universe that have been written. This has 600. So the complete notes from the universe will have a volume 2 and a volume 3 and a volume 4 and a volume 5. Who knows how many? So it's not everything. It's the complete of what's been published in print.
Oh, okay. You put different volumes together on this whole thing.
There will be different volumes.
Okay. All right.
But so, yeah, these are like the first 600.
So I've been getting your notes since probably 2009. And so I saved them all. So I may have already have those in my saved portion of my email. So something I look forward to every single day. And I can't tell you how much you've changed my life and so many other people's lives. So your book is available, I'm sure, on Amazon.
Yeah, almost anywhere books are sold. It's in English and soon many other languages. I'm in 27 languages, although this book is so new, I don't know what foreign markets it'll be in right away. But it's available as an ebook, an audiobook, a print trade paperback book. So, you know, wherever you like books, they can get it for you if they don't
already
have it.
And I love books. And you got so many amazing ones out that there's something for everyone. So just Google his name and put that in Amazon and you'll find a book that touches your soul. So, Mike, we've got about a couple of minutes left. Tell us the one thing you would like my listeners to know.
That they are eternal sparks of God. Not God of a religion, but of the most beautiful fashion and form of divine intelligence you can imagine. You're here because you wanted to be here and you knew what you were doing when you chose to be here. And foremost amongst all of the tools in your tool chest is the fact that your thoughts become things. You're loved and adored, pushed on to greatness every single day. Follow your heart, follow your dreams. they're meant to be.
I love that. Mike, thank you so much for being on, and we appreciate everything you've done.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you, everybody that supports us from behind the scenes. Tally ho.
Thank you. And we will be right back. Okay, we're back after Mike's interview. He's so much fun. He's so authentic, and he's so on point on how he knows how to express inspiration and the heart that we all know is in each one of us, that we know that we are here to live our highest purpose, to be our highest self. And when we do it in a tribe, when we do it with a group of people, when we do it with a mentor, it is so much more helpful. And it gets us, it's like going, instead of being on a moped getting us to our destination, we're now on a Harley Davidson. And Mike is one of those people that you're on that Harley with him because you are so excited about what he teaches and how he says things. So I encourage you to get his new book, The Complete Notes of the Universe. And while we're on that subject, my book, The Lawyer and the Law of Attraction, is also on Amazon. It's a fun book. It's a good beginning book as far as understanding the law of attraction. It is for everybody, whether you're new to this or whether you've been in it for a while. So I encourage you to also get on Amazon and look for my book. And also get on my website, lawyerofattraction.com. There's a great 7-day challenge that is fun to do. And there's a couple other programs that are available. I want to thank you for being with us this week. I want to thank you for always being with me and sharing this journey. Because as Ram Dass always says, we are just walking each other home. And I am so honored to be on this journey with you. So thank you. And until next week, this is Paula Kidd Casey. And I am the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction radio show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.